And here we go, and they're off. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our show. It's Wednesday. It's our midweek edition. This is the last Wednesday of September. It's the 28th, 2021. Tom, it's too bad that the official rain gauge for the summer rainy season was not in my backyard. We had another half inch since I have seen you last, since we saw you last Friday. Had a half inch over the weekend. So if that rain gauge was at the Buckmaster house, we would be at that number one level.
Numero uno.
Yeah, we'd be numero uno, but I don't think we're going to make it. We
got one more shot.
Yeah.
There's a chance tonight, and tomorrow is our last chance.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
And they're predicting some rain.
Okay, I'll take number three for the rainiest monsoon in Tucson history. We're in our 11th year, actually close out year 11 here at the end of the year. And we are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. The radio station is 1030. The call letters are KVOI, like K-Voice, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from KVOI.com. All of our guests on our live line are presented courtesy Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. A University of Arizona research team has identified what may be the key molecular mechanism responsible for COVID-19 mortality, an enzyme related to neurotoxins found in, of all things, rattlesnake venom. The team was led by Dr. Floyd, nicknamed Ski Chilton. We'll find out how that came about in a moment, a professor of nutritional sciences and wellness who also serves as associate director of the Bio5 Institute and director of the Precision Wellness Initiative at the University of Arizona. Dr. Chilton's team collaborated with researchers in New York at Stony Brook University with the idea to analyze lipids and metabolites in COVID-19 patient blood samples, applying their research expertise to try to understand what factors influences who eventually succumbs to the disease. Dr. Chilton is author of 5 books focused on nutrition, diet, and physical and mental health, including Inflammation Nation, published by Simon & Schuster. He and his team examine how genetic variations interact with human diets to drive inflammation and inflammatory disorders, including cancer and heart disease, as well as psychiatric and developmental disorders. All right, we welcome now to the Buckmaster Show, Dr. Chilton. Ski, how are you? How did the ski come about?
Hi, Bill. I'm doing well, thank you. I just wish my mom could have heard that introduction.
Pretty good, huh?
Actually, my mom had a lot to do with the name Ski. I grew up on an 8-acre tobacco farm in Appalachia in a house without a bathroom. We had one person in the family that we'd all heard a great deal about her. At least my mom had. And his name was Ski, and he was a physician, and he was off somewhere. And as she tells it, she thought if she named me Ski, I might amount to something. So the jury's still out, but that's the way Ski came about.
Hey, based on that introduction, I would say you have amounted to something, Ski. You've done a lot of great work. Let's begin with this whole deal about rattlesnake venom. Explain to our listeners, simply put, what's the connection between rattlesnake venom and who dies of COVID-19?
Well, Bill, if I can just a little bit tell you how we got to the snake venom.
Sure, go ahead.
So basically what we did is we took patients who did not have COVID, who had mild COVID, had severe COVID, or those who died from COVID. And initially it was out of New York, and then it was out of Arizona and New York. And we have this fancy-smancy technique that we can measure metabolites in the blood. We can measure 1,500 metabolites in the blood. And basically we're looking for patterns, in particular patterns in severe versus folks who had died, and basically we saw two patterns. One pattern said there was energy dysfunction. And basically what it was telling us that with multiple organ failure and death, we were seeing energy going away and these organs could not sustain themselves. But secondly, we saw a pattern that I recognized from 25 years ago, and it was a pattern in which there were products of an enzyme that's very similar to snake venom enzyme, and there were products of that enzyme that were floating around at very high concentrations in those people who died. We then went looking for that enzyme and saw the highest concentrations of that enzyme circulating in the folks who died that had ever been seen. So the data led us to the enzyme. It was funny because 25 years ago, I'd written a paper in Journal of Clinical Investigations saying, will the true role of this secretory PLA2 please stand up? Because we didn't know what in the heck it was doing. So as fate or whatever would have it, it came back to visit 25 years later. And as you say, it's very similar to the family of rattlesnake and other snake venoms. And it's the primary ingredient. It's the primary active ingredient in these neurotoxins.
Is this enzyme naturally occurring in all of us, in our bodies?
It is. So the question is, why would we have it? Why did we Right. keep it around? Why has it been around for 100 million years of evolution? And the answer is, it participates, and well before antibiotics and any of that in humanity, in humankind, it participated in circulating, and it recognized bacterial membranes. So anytime there was a bacterial or viral infection, it recognized those as foreign, and it would shred or eat up those membranes and kill the bacteria. So it is protective, and it was designed to be protective. However, in this case, as you see in many cases of severe late-stage inflammation, something turns bad. Something that's good turns bad. In this case, very high levels of this begin to be produced, and then within the organs themselves, they cannot maintain their membranes in such a way that they no longer are ignored by this enzyme. So this enzyme begins to go into the organ and shred the tissues of the organs.
So it's protective initially, but then it turns destructive.
In science, science nerds, we call that a bell-shaped curve in which, you know, you get to the top of the curve and it's very protective, and then all of a sudden you go too far and a set of events take place and all of a sudden it turns against the human. And there's terms for that. There's disease resistance is when it's helping us out. And then it's host tolerance when it's beginning to hurt us. And so we lose that host tolerance. And what our studies suggest is we completely lose it when these individuals succumb to the disease.
So what can we do to help treat these severe COVID-19 patients with this information?
Well, it's a wonderful opportunity, Bill, because in the late 2000s, Eli Lilly developed late-stage clinical trial in a late-stage inhibitors of this enzyme. So these inhibitors have been on the shelf. They can be repurposed. They've gone through late phase 2B clinical trials. So I'm currently speaking with some of the largest organizations in the world about doing international clinical trials for this. I think one of the things that we focus a lot on, and we should, is vaccination. It's really, really important. But at the other side of that equation is specific therapies. At the end of the process is specific therapies. And perhaps we've not spoken enough about this. This would be the first specific therapy for severe COVID to prevent mortality. Now, again, we need a clinical trial. We need a late-stage clinical trial. But it's not years away because these inhibitors have already been developed and taken through clinical trials.
Unfortunately, a third of people develop the long-term COVID. Could it be that the enzyme is still relatively high and active in these people that have these long COVID outcomes?
It's just an outstanding question, Bill. And while we haven't directly tested this, we've certainly alluded to it. I mean, this enzyme having the characteristics, having the nasty biology, if you will, of snake venom goes to neuromuscular junctions. It binds to receptors on the neurons and it binds to receptors on the muscles, and it basically destroys those neuromuscular junctions. In many cases, we see these people who were marathon runners, who were incredibly active individuals, and now they can't walk to the mailbox. And so, you know, we're looking and currently collecting cohorts of long COVID patients because that's the next hypothesis that we're testing. Does this enzyme stay somewhat high in these individuals, and is it attacking these neuromuscular junctions leading to many of the signs and symptoms of long COVID?
Fascinating information, Dr. Chilton. Stay with us. We're going to take a brief pause right here, and then we'll come back with you. I want to touch a little bit also about nutrition and wellness and what precision nutrition and wellness is. So stick around. We'll be back with Dr. Chilton. But right now, I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town. That's Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. The variety of European-style baked goods and breads is astounding. Your biggest problem at Mona's will be when you look at the bakery case, because I know I have this problem. I go in there and think, do I want the chocolate croissant? Yeah, I'd like that. But what about the peanut butter cookie? Anyway, and on it goes. So your big decision will be what to purchase. And they are open right now for lunch. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. That wonderful Scandinavian style pastry. Their website, by the way, is monasdanishbakery.com. More with Dr. Chilton and all this fascinating research about molecular mechanisms that are responsible for COVID-19 mortality. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition. Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. Buckmaster Show, midweek edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things open right now, that 13-acre site. In fact, they're open daily. They're in their 51st year of serving Southern Arizonans with delivering some of the most beautiful plants on the face of the earth. 3384 East River Road, right by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. The website's Green Things AZ. And when you're over there, stop by Zocalo Village. That furniture, some of it's so beautifully crafted, handcrafted, like in mesquite wood, the dining room sets and such, beautiful. Some of it's crafted here in Tucson, others places, Mexico, Latin America, just some beautiful things. Their website, ZocaloVillage.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, and we go back now on the live line for our conversation continuing with Dr. Floyd, a.k.a. Ski Chilton, a professor of nutritional sciences and wellness. He also serves as associate director of the Bio 5 Institute and director of the Precision Wellness Initiative at the University of Arizona. The first portion of our interview was discussing Dr. Chilton and his research team identifying what may be the key molecular mechanism responsible for COVID-19 mortality, an enzyme related to neurotoxins found in rattlesnake venom. Want to switch gears here, if I may, Ski, to nutrition and wellness. What is precision nutrition and wellness?
So, Bill, my optimal life is that, you know, that I maintain my health span. I maintain my health span till I'm 90 years old, and I don't go down and I die in my sleep. So I'm 64, and, you know, I'm hiking 15 miles in the mountains every weekend, and
wow.
I've had two cancers, and, you know, but how do you stay up on top of that health span? How do you stay there? And so with these precision tools that we've described for COVID, we can now begin to understand your health trajectory well before you get a diagnosis. So we can look at these thousands of molecules. We can say, wow, that looks like a pattern that's going to whatever, prostate cancer. That looks like a pattern that's going to cardiovascular disease. And we can see that 10 to 15 years before the diagnosis. Now, what that then does is it pushes prevention back 10 to 15 years. So the idea of personalized wellness or personalized or precision wellness is this idea of understanding these new technologies, but more importantly, how these new technologies can be used to, well before a diagnosis, detect health trajectory and put you back on that health span line that allows you to keep going, that allows you to stay up until you're 90 and die in your sleep. So the idea is we now have the genetic, the metabolomic, we have these, again, these fancy schmancy tools that allows us to see these things well before they're going to take place in a diagnosis.
Can brain circuitry be changed? Do we have the capacity to rewire and change our minds and thus save our lives?
Well, it's funny you should ask that. I mean, my last book is entitled The Rewired Brain. And The Rewired Brain was based on unfortunately, some personal things in my life and wondering if I had any free will, and then going back and really understanding brain plasticity. The answer is yes. We do have the capacity to rewire our brains. We have the capacity to change, and we can either go in one direction or another. If we go in one direction too long, then we've permanently wired that brain. The key is flexibility. So we absolutely have the ability to rewire our brain. And perhaps that's the biggest surprise almost in all of science, is how much plasticity there is in our capacity to rewire these brains. But we have to maintain our flexibility, our intellectual, our ideas. We have to constantly be willing to change and reflect upon our lives and do things and change things. And as long as we maintain that flexibility, then we can rewire those brains.
Your first book, very successful, Inflammation Nation. Do we all have a certain amount of inflammation? Too much, I assume, and I know is a bad thing, but is there a right level to have inflammation in our bodies?
Well, we do. I mean, the modern Western diet just kills us. I mean, when it went to China, you know, instantly 300 million people got diabetes. The modern Western diet is devastating. And the modern Western diet, as it interacts with certain genomes, certain genetics, I study ancestry and health disparity. So African ancestry, modern Western diet, gene-diet interactions, inflammation, much higher rates of cardiovascular disease, cancer. So, yes, what Inflammation Nation, the book, did was, before inflammation was a really well-known word, it predicted the epidemic. It said, given this level of nutrition, given this level of exercise, and given these genes, we're about to have a disaster. And that's going to be the umbrella for a bunch of diseases, whether it's cardiovascular disease, whether it's Alzheimer's, whether it's cancer, whether it's cardiometabolic disease, whatever, that's going to be the basis, because this central underlying mechanism is driving all of those diseases.
One of your books is called Made to Crave, The Action Plan. Do you crave certain foods? I know I do. And why do we do that?
Well, we crave them because they're just as, they're hitting the same brain circuitry as our most hedonistic drug that we could take. So we literally become quite addicted. We become addicted utilizing exactly the same brain mechanisms as if we were taking heroin. So yes, we are made to crave. We're made to crave. I actually wrote that book with a leading female evangelical figure, Lisa Turkhurst, and she had written a New York Times best-selling book called Made to Crave, and it was how that all the kind of the psychosocial aspects of being overweight and all of that, and then Made to Crave, The Action Plan was actually a very prescriptive book on how do you overcome that. What are the dietary and exercise changes that can be made? So that was the first book. Her book was the why to, and our book that we wrote together was the how-to.
Dr. Chilton, you said you're hiking now 15 miles every weekend. What is your diet like right now?
Well, I'm an intermittent faster. I'm fascinated with this concept of adaptive stress and anti-aging. So hot yoga, you know, intermittent fasting. You know, in animal models, and there was just a really great paper in 2019 in the New England Journal of Medicine, which was really providing proof for these concepts. But in animal models, if we fast animals in certain ways, we take 40% of their calories away, these animals can live 30-40% longer. But not only do they live longer, who cares if they live longer, but they're much healthier. So my personal diet is I am an intermittent faster, and when I eat a Mediterranean diet.
All right, Dr. Chilton Ski, it's been a pleasure talking with you about your research, not only into COVID-19, but all of your research into nutrition, diet, and physical and mental health. Fascinating conversation. I appreciate the time. Thank you, sir.
It's been my honor, Bill. Thank you. Great questions.
Thank you very much. Dr. Floyd Ski Chilton, Professor of Nutritional Science and Wellness, and also the Associate Director of the Bio5 Institute, Director of Precision Wellness Initiative at the University of Arizona. Fascinating material that he and his team are developing. We'll take a break right here. Our Reed Park Zoo update is next.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. Midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. The following segment presented by our friends at the Reed Park Zoo. The zoo was founded in 1965 by the then City of Tucson Parks Director Gene Reed. As an exhibit of exotic birds, the zoo has become one of America's top zoos, with more than 300 animals from all over the world and welcoming some 500,000 visitors annually. With us on the live line, Deborah Carr. Deborah is Marketing and Events Director at the zoo. Hey, Deborah, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you? It's so great to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. As the Events Director, you have got to be extremely busy because fall means lots of events at the zoo, doesn't it?
It is. We are event central right now. Starting with our biggest event of the year, it's our signature fundraiser, ZooSon, which is coming up on Friday, August 8th from 6 to 9 p.m. And this year we're back to an in-person at the zoo event, and it's going to honor our colorful African wild dogs. So we have a different theme each year. It's really one of those events where you're going to want to wear some stretchy clothing because it's an all-inclusive ticket, and you can go all around the zoo and enjoy food and beverage samplings from over 20 area restaurants. They'll be serving everything from the savory to the sweet, so there's taste for all likes and explorations there. And all of these restaurants, generously donate food for the evening. And there's also animal ambassador encounters. We'll have live entertainment from steel drum band Jovert and also pop music by Adam Townsend Band. And of course, one of the signature things for the evening are our one-of-a-kind auctions. We have both a live auction and a silent auction. And for the live auction, you can bid on really unique experiences, such as a wild dog package. We have a custom painting by artist Diana Medeiros, and you can also couple that with a four-course dinner at the Wild Dog Habitat. So you can enjoy your dinner and watch them enjoy theirs. we also have a Crocodile Rock package for all of you Elton John fans. Tickets to Elton John's farewell concert in Phoenix, with an overnight stay, plus a behind-the-scenes encounter back here in Tucson with a close relative, the American alligator. Also, a really great sleepover at the zoo, which is always exciting to be in the zoo at night and having a flashlight tour and all of those things. And also, in addition to the live auction, we have a silent auction where we'll have everything from art made by the animals. There's even a really fun trunk print of Penzi and Nandi. That's a first. We have themed baskets. Right now there's probably about, 50 baskets in my office.
Wow.
And they range from, art, gardening, food and beverage, you name it. And also, if you cannot make it in person, the auction is live on the website, and you can go on our website at reedparkzoo.org and access the link for that, so you can bid from the comfort of your living room. And all the proceeds from ZooSon benefit animal care, provide enrichment for the animals at the zoo, as well as support our education and conservation programs. It's really an important event for us and a crucial event for us. And we hope to see everyone there for
it
a great time.
It's a huge event, and what an outstanding evening that's going to be. So much going on. What would you say, we've got October with that big event, but then, of course, Halloween's around the corner, and then that's a special place for folks who like to visit the zoo around Halloween.
Yes, yes, we have our Boo at the Zoo for the children, and that is sponsored by Lloyd Construction, and it will run this year. We have an extra night. It's October 21st through the 24th from 6 to 8:30 p.m., and members will get to come in at 5:30 p.m., a little early, and it's really become such a Halloween tradition. The kids can wear their costumes, and they travel through all sorts of special scenes at the zoo to meet favorite characters from storybooks and movies. There are pirates and princesses and superheroes, and we even have some aliens this year. And they also enjoy safe trick-or-treating throughout the zoo and a fall festival zone with games and music. There's a big hay maze, pumpkin patch. And again, we're so fortunate that the characters donate their time to making this event truly special for the kids. It's one of those places where you can bring the kids for some safe trick-or-treating, and it's merry and not too scary for the kids.
There you go. I mean, and these events, and including the new public art piece, which has become very popular, really point people, I think, Deborah, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it really point people into the frame of mind about the mission of the zoo, which is conservation and really educating people about the wild animals there.
Absolutely. You know, events serve a number of purposes. Not only do they bring people to the zoo, but sometimes they bring people who otherwise would not visit.
Right.
So we can get them in the door, and, you know, to educate someone and to reach them, we really have to reach the heart first, and then you educate the head. So by coming to the zoo, you know, they can see what the zoo's all about, see some of the animals, and hopefully fall in love with them and create that empathy with wildlife and the desire to protect them and learn about ways they can get involved. And for most of our events, we also tie them into our mission of conservation. So, for instance, when we're talking about Halloween, mm-hmm. we can talk about purchasing candy that's orangutan-friendly by using only sustainable palm oil. And there's actually an app on our website that you can download and, you know, scan a barcode and find out if the candy that you're purchasing is going to be friendly for the primates.
Our family supports the zoo as members. How can others join my family in supporting the zoo, Deborah Carr?
Oh, there's so many ways to get involved, Bill. And, you know, just with even when you purchase a ticket and you come to the zoo, you help support the many conservation programs that the zoo participates in. Also, memberships. We have memberships that start as low as $27 for seniors. And animal adoptions. You can symbolically adopt an animal, your favorite animal at the zoo, and help with care and feeding and enrichment items. Also, attending an event like ZooSon or our new Spirits at the Zoo, which is coming up on October the 30th, which is going to be a Halloween event for adults 21 and over with spooky cocktails. And the proceeds from that are going to benefit our many conservation programs. And, you know, also you can make a donation to the zoo. You can find a complete list of all the different ways you can get involved at reedparkzoo.org. And finally, volunteering. We love volunteers, and we always have a place for volunteers.
So on the animal front, it was very sad. We lost one of the zoo giraffes who really had a great life and lived to be quite an elderly giraffe, didn't the animal?
Yes, yes, that was Denver.
Yeah.
We are very sad. We were going to miss her immensely. She was such a wonderful ambassador of her species and lived to be 32 years old, which
wow.
is 12 years beyond the normal life expectancy for a giraffe. And that's really a testament to the quality care that she receives here at the zoo. We do provide the animals with whole life care, and we do see the full gamut of the spectrum of life. And Denver, you know, was very much a guest favorite. She was often the first that you would see come for the giraffe feedings, and just really, I think, had a place in everyone's heart. And we've just been so overwhelmed with and touched by the many photos that people have been sharing with us of their experiences with Denver. And just the love that they had for her and for giraffes.
Well, you have a great staff there and a staff that cares so much about these animals, and these animals require special care, special diets. You've got a great medical team. It's really a team effort over there at the Reed Park Zoo. Deborah, again, pointing people to the website, please.
Yes, it's reedparkzoo.org, and we would like to let everyone know that starting October 1st, we're going to be on fall hours. That's 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and fall's a great time to come visit. The weather's getting cooler. The animals tend to be very active, and if you haven't been in a while, you'll see some new faces here at the zoo.
All right, Deborah Carr, we will talk and catch up with you again in December, early December, before all the holiday events get going. You're a very busy woman, I know, with all these events going on. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you so much, Bill. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot. Deborah Carr, who is the marketing and events coordinator at the Reed Park Zoo. We'll be back on Buckmaster right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This portion of the program presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just looking at that 7-day forecast for Silver City. Take a jacket when you take the 3-hour drive over there. Mid-40s some of these nights coming up over the weekend. So that's daytime highs, though, 71. That is perfect. Autumn, a nip in the air over in Silver City, and a great time of year to visit New Mexico. Check out their website before you make the trip, because there you will learn about what to do, and there are a lot of things to do, and where to stay. The website is southwestnewmexico.org. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Speaking of the live line, let's welcome now back to the program Visit Tucson's Dan Gibson. Dan, how are you?
I'm good. I'm my last day here in beautiful Spokane, Washington, and I'll be back in the home country tomorrow. So,
are you up there on business?
I am. Yeah, it's been a hectic couple of weeks, but yeah, we have the. I'm on the board of the Public Relations Society of North of America's Travel and Tourism section. So we had our board retreat here. So,
wow. That's cool. So let me ask you, your colleagues from all over the country, I assume, have been weighing in on the tourism recovery, and this is our Tucson Tourism Report, our monthly report. What is the bottom line, Dan Gibson?
You know what? I think we're settling into what would be a little bit of a new normal. I think I think that seems to be what I get catching from people, you know, talking to people in this industry. But also, like, when you look at surveys, Longwoods International's in the tourism space and has done weekly surveys about how people's perceptions of the coronavirus are affecting their travel plans. And we're just getting into this place where now, you know, there was a dip like maybe 6 weeks ago where people were saying, listen, you know, the coronavirus is going to greatly impact my decision to travel. And now we're sort of coming out of that where people are just, it's just sort of hitting the space where, you know, people are less concerned about their personal financial situation, how COVID is going to affect it. They're less concerned about the effect of COVID to their restrictions to their plans, and they're just going to go. Again, I mean, I feel like a little bit of a broken record, but, you know, that doesn't mean the same thing for group travel or convention businesses, which are still a little bit more tenuous. I tell people all the time, it's one thing to make a decision for yourself. It's another thing to make a decision for your business and for your employees about what's safe. But as, you know, as you're seeing vaccination policies, you know, sort of adapt and people sort of work, communities work to sort of tamp down the effects of COVID in the short term from these bursts of the Delta variant, people are ready to travel. They're ready to go places. They're looking at more driving still than flying. But, you know, I also have been in a lot of airports and planes the last 2 weeks, and every single one of them was full. So
how big a piece is the group travel for Visit Tucson?
You know, it can be for, especially for resorts, sports tourism has a big effect on sort of mid-tier properties and ones near the airport. But when you're looking at the resorts, frequently it'll be 50 to 75% of their business at any given time. Businesses or business traveler convention or groups. That is coming back. The events are happening. They're just now you're sort of seeing where events will require vaccinations or a proof of a negative COVID test. That seems to be sort of the tipping point of what people are comfortable with. Although, you know, we've been talking about the event for PRSA coming up, and people are asking, well, what about the hotel? Will the hotel people be vaccinated? Is that required? Mm-hmm. Will the people I encounter with, what will there be policy? There, you know, masks and things like that. So, you know, there's sort of a variety of opinions and levels of comfortability. But as we sort of hit this space where most meetings are just going to ask for vaccination, that seems to be what makes people feel a little bit more comfortable. So I think that business will be rebounding, but it is incredibly important to this community. I mean, I cannot overstate that. We have an entire department that does nothing but chase this type of business because it brings hundreds of thousands of hotel rooms to this community. And then the ancillary benefits of them spending money in this community on food, you know, events, entertainment, things like that.
And downtown is ready. Our hotels are, we've got the room now for meetings and conventions. And that leads me to my next question about looking ahead to our primetime tourism season, which is really right around the corner, Dan. As you know, Thanksgiving and on really heralds the beginning of primetime for Tucson. What are you hearing about the annual Gem and Mineral Show?
I think in general, everyone is pretty gung-ho about going full speed ahead with the Gem Show. I don't think there's going to be a cancellation. I don't think there'll be really massive effects. The question will be just, you know, the United States' relationship with other countries and the comfortability of people internationally traveling. that can be, you know, 10 to 20% of visitors. It can be a certain percentage of the vendors as well. An international gem show is the best one we can have, right? Like, that's the one that's like the fullest expression of what people think is the gem show. We can absolutely have a great event that's focused on more domestic buyers and sellers. But people being able to come from other countries and feeling comfortable from those countries, that's a lot of the challenge. And again, that I don't want to be a broken record, but it is a big part of it is people getting vaccinated. In this community, the numbers of people vaccinated are how other countries are looking about whether people can travel to a space,
right.
How long they need to be quarantined afterwards, right? If you look at going somewhere and you realize you have to be in quarantine for 2 weeks afterwards, it drastically changes your opinion about going.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, more people getting vaccinated in this community makes a lot of difference to the economic stability of especially this space. But, you know, all over our economy is dependent on that number going up and up.
And I think it's worth noting entertainment tourism is back. We do now have the venues up and running and shows are back in Tucson.
Yep, fully moving. I mean, the Rialto's had a really great lineup of events. Every couple days or so, you see more shows being announced to places like the Rialto or 191 Tool, the Fox, obviously, Club Congress as well. So and the TCC Arena, right? Like, mm-hmm. And the music hall. So there's just more and more happening. The upside is that we do see like the sort of expansion of downtown, the new hotels from the 10 rooms at the forthcoming downtown Citizen. To the Hampton Inn, the home to the DoubleTree, it adds more possibility for those sort of like events and being able to house more people. But yeah, it is very much you'll see it there, right? Like those venues have gathered together and say that you need a vaccination or a recent negative test to come in. So if people want to see concerts, also get vaccinated. I don't know what the angle is. I'm willing to try anything to get more people vaccinated because it makes a big difference to the economic stability of Visit Tucson and Tucson in general.
So it sounds like there is what is evolving now is kind of a uniform protocol if you want to be in the audience for live entertainment. Is that what I'm kind of hearing from you?
For sure. It seems to be just across the board what the standard is. I was in New York last week, right? And every single restaurant and bar said to come in and sit down, you're going to need to show your vaccination card. And I think, you know, despite the sort of weirdness of a piece of paper determining whether you can get into something or not, that seems to be comfortable for most people. I mean, for the majority of people, because they're like, yeah, great. I want to be around other vaccinated people. That's what I wanted in the first place. So that seems to be the standard that we're just establishing for all group events and from, you know, restaurant venue from across the board. That seems to be what people are comfortable with as a culture. And that does put a little bit of pressure on people to be vaccinated, but it also does add a comfort level to people participating in those activities.
Canadian visitors to Arizona are really important. The COVID the past 18 months has been really tough on that. Do you have any idea when the protocol will change there at the border? You can fly as a tourist into Canada, and you can come back to the United States, but you need to have a COVID test. What are you hearing anything about that?
Yeah, it seems to be sort of, yeah, there are some challenges with that. We had we have a person on the PRSA board from Vancouver, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So he was having these sort of, like, to juggle this stuff and, like, where is he going to get a test and how is that going to work? Mm-hmm. It is infinitely easier to drive across the border by all accounts. So, like, that's not as quite as helpful for us. I
no.
think a lot of our visitors are particularly not trying to cross the entirety of America to get here. but I welcome it, you know. I hope they do. Yeah, I think it's still... Again, like the Canadian government is looking at vaccination numbers here, right? And they're trying to figure out what's safe for their community. They've obviously taken a harder line stance than the United States as a whole. So,
yeah,
it just takes that progress, and for the Delta variant to sort of either work its way through, or for enough people to sort of take the precautions that they need to.
All right, Dan Gibson, we will let you get back at your meetings up in beautiful Spokane, Washington. Safe trip back for you, Dan. Always a pleasure. Thank you for helping us.
Of course, my pleasure. Anytime.
All right, Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson. That will wrap it up for the show today. On behalf of my friend Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing, hope you enjoyed our hour that was full of content, I believe, and lots of good information. Have a great afternoon. Dave Ramsey is next on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk.